Spread the Word radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 51. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
His guard was down. You know what they say, forewarned is forearmed. Well, he didn't even know. He really was ignorant of himself. Some great philosopher back in those days, I think of Socrates, who said it, know thyself. Well, that's hard to do. Why? Because the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. So we're going to listen to our heart and we're going to think, I know. No, he says there's something secret in your heart you need to know. And when I teach it to you, David, you're going to know it. And you know what? God chose David, called him a man after his own heart. He said that when he told Samuel to anoint him as king. He knew what was in David. And he knew that when you take a boy who's a shepherd and you make him a sovereign, that there might be a little bit of blowback. And there was. And he thought David can handle this. And he let him. Now, that's a hard thing to think about, but you know there are no deities out there that can match the God that we have. This is a God who understands we're sinful. He understands we're going to mess things up. And he says, you come on with me anyway. He is not ashamed to be called our God. He is not ashamed to be called our Father. I think that's amazing. And for that, I will rest and lay down and sleep. Okay, I can do that because he's that good. Okay? And he's going to teach you something about you, and he teaches me things about me. And you look at this and you think, okay, I get it. There's a secret. He says, you're going to make me to know wisdom. You're going to take something that's hidden to me. I can't see it no matter how hard I look until I see it. And when you show it to me, I'm not going to like it. And David was shown that he was not all that big a deal after all. You know, we can get, we're like a legend in our own minds. Hey, you know, look at me. We're a legend in our own minds sometimes. We're the hero of our own story. No, no, no. We're sinners who need a Savior. We're beggars who need some bread. The only place to find it is at the foot of the cross. He says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. So he's getting us down there into the heart. He said, in the inward parts. And he says, and in the hidden part, thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Same word for acknowledge. I acknowledge my sin. He says, I know it now. Now he goes on to a number of things. He says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop. He says in verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. He says, hide thy face in verse 9. Blot out again my sins and my iniquities. Create in me a new heart, verse 10. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Deliver me, verse 14. I don't know, but that he found a little purchase for his hope by reiterating to his own heart those things earlier. That he could stand up and say, I'll take some of this, and I'll take some of that, and I'm going to take some of this too. It's like being at a smorgasbord, man, just heaping it on the plate, you know. David didn't start wrong either. He started right. He says, you purge me with hyssop. Now, for those of us who know our Bibles a little bit, we know that that's a picture of how they would take the blood and sprinkle it on the book when they consecrated the book and the priests and the people when the old covenant was ratified. It was the hyssop that was put in the blood and put on the top of the door and on either doorpost to make a cross that prefigured Jesus being our lamb and the blood being what's seen in God passing over. It is the hyssop that was put in the blood. You know what he said? He said, give blood. Give blood to take care of the blood I owe. Now, it's kind of hard for him to have fully understood or seen that he was actually asking for Jesus to die for him. But through the clouds and the thick darkness and the shadows of the Old Testament, David loved to behold the sacrifices of that day. One sacrifice that comes readily to mind, it is actually connected to the verbiage in that verse, is a passage where Moses was telling the people that in certain cases they would take a couple of doves and take two of them and wring the one's neck and put the blood inside of a bowl. And that blood would be in there with a little water. And then they would take the live pigeon and put it in there and shake him up in the blood and water. And then he would let the one that was alive go, having been taken care of by the blood of the one that died. That's what Jesus did for you and me. He died for our sins. He died on the cross to pay for the sins that you and I are guilty of. And when he did that, we were set free when we asked him to set us free. David says, purge me with hyssop. Purge me with hyssop and I will be clean. How do you get clean? You need the blood of Christ. It's not trite. It's not ordinary thing. It's not to be mocked, vilified, scorned over. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin, 1 John tells us. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not just the ones in the past. He knows you. If you're true born child of God, he takes care of everything. Make me to hear joy and gladness. He says, first of all, I need to get clean. Then I can hear. He puts things in order. You know, sometimes we have no joy in the songs of Zion because they don't mean much to us. But I'm telling you what, when you know the joy of his forgiveness, you'll begin to revel in the power of his provisions. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Hide thy face and so forth. Create in me a clean spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Understand that when he is talking about being restored, he's talking about being upheld by God's free spirit. And that free spirit is a spirit that actually does in fact have the word nobility knit to it. Uphold me by this nobility spirit. You see, when God saved us, he made us kings and priests. This is not about the Holy Spirit. It's the free spirit that God has made us. We're supposed to walk free. When believers do not walk free, it's because they've forgotten who they are. Interesting, huh? He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me a free spirit, a noble spirit. Because with thy is added. Do you realize that when God saved us, he made us sons? Right? To as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. And what he's saying you and I have nobility knit to our core. And he says, I need to walk that way again, and I haven't been able to. And he says in verse 3, after he asks for that one gem of gold, if you will, that one amazing, priceless gem of being restored, he says, then I will teach transgressors your way. And sinners will be converted. You see what he did? He said, listen, God, I'm asking you for something, but I'm willing to say this. I'm going to give you my heart back. I'm going to live for you. And what he does is he says, this is what will happen if you'll do this, Lord. He says, I will do this. I will teach others. The reason sometimes we don't witness is because maybe it's not meaning as much to us as it should. Sometimes we don't teach sinners the way of the Lord because we don't want to be self-revealing. I have found in my own walk with people in the lost world that I have sometimes had to tell them personal stories so that they could see that I was human too and that I didn't come from an ivory tower and life has been hard too and I didn't get everything I wanted along the way, even as a believer. I've had my hurts, pains, and aches, my wounds, but I'm okay because God consecrates the wounds. He says, if you will restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me, a free spirit, he says, then I will teach transgressors thy way. Sinners will be converted. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, and my tongue will sing aloud in verse 14. He says, I will show forth your praise in verse 15. You do not desire sacrifice, or I give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. He says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, it's really easy to get into the form. It's been estimated through the years, I've heard all my Christian life, that 90% of the Christian's life can be lived in the power of the flesh. You can read, you can go to church, you can pray, you can go through all the motions, but it's that 10% that really has to do with the heart. The broken spirit, the contrite heart. Oh, Lord, you will not despise. That's what you're looking for. That's the issue. That's the centerpiece. And he says, God, you won't despise that. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Mount Zion. What he did is he now takes it beyond that. These are extenuating circumstances we're at now. Because what he's saying is, it's not just about me. You see, our egocentricity, it makes us think it's all about us. It's not. It's about the greater kingdom. You and I are just players in this grand thematic epic that God is writing. You and I are just his trophies to do with what he will. If you and I have fallen and stumbled or broken our knee, you know, you and I can step up and say, God was good to me when I failed him. God was good to me in spite of me. And that is a testimony a lost man who doesn't think there's any way through can say, I see that. He can do that for you. He can do that for me. And this is why David becomes one who really isn't an embarrassment to the family. The Bible says in verse 18, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. He says, because I've sinned, the whole thing could come down like a house of cards. However, I know you're for them. And so I'm just asking you to fix me, help me. I'll do what I can to do everything I can. You remember Manasseh, 65-year reigning as king, one of the worst kings ever. He was the one who's credited with taking Isaiah, putting him in a log and sawing him in half. That's a pretty big deal. And you see him at the end of his tenure, as it were, he's taken away into Babylon, put in chains inside of Babylonian prison. And he says, God, I'm sorry. And God forgave him. And he sent him back. And he says, I'm going to do whatever I can to get rid of the groves. But things had gone so far, he couldn't fix it. But he tried. And we look at Manasseh now and we say, there's another example. Who would tell that story? I'll tell that story. Because I need to know that story. The Bible says in verse 19, then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And what he's saying is he's telling us very deliberately that when God fixes the big thing, the little things will be more meaningful. Going to church won't be a burden. Praying, reading our Bible won't be a burden. It'll be a blessing. The Bible says the man who delights himself in the Lord, he meditates in God's law day and night. One great writer of the past said, on that basis of Psalm 1, which I was just referring to, he said, the man who really loves the Lord has no greater joy than in a nook with a book. All right, in conclusion, I want to read you something that one said of David. David, the Hebrew king, had fallen into sins enough, blackest crimes. There was no want of sins. And thereupon unbelievers sneer and ask, is this your man, according to God's heart? The sneer, I must say, seems to me but a shallow one. What are faults? What are the outward details of life, if the inner secret of it, the remorse and temptations, the true and often baffled and never-ending struggle of life, be forgotten? The question is, what are the outward details of life if you forget the mess of it? He goes on to say, David's life and history, as it is written for us in those Psalms, I consider to be the truest emblem ever given of a man's moral progress in warfare here below. All earnest souls will ever discern in it the faithful struggle of an earnest human soul toward what is good and best. Struggle often baffled, sore baffled, driven as into entire wreck. Yet a struggle never ended, ever with tears and repentance, under that true, unconquerable purpose, begun anew. David found a way to begin anew. He got clean. And so can you. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.